Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for joining us for How She Does It. On this show, we talk about all things women, money, and power. I'm Karen Feinerman. I'm always so impressed when I hear about a scrappy female founder starting off making a product from her home and then growing it into a multi-million dollar business. I think of Bobbi Brown, who worked with a chemist to make 10 shades of lipstick and turn that into a cosmetics empire. Like the title of the show says, how did they do it? I'm always fascinated by how and if the skills that it takes to run a small business translate into running one of many, many employees and the day-to-day tasks that are widely different. That's why I'm so thrilled to have one of those scrappy female founders with me today. In 2010, Star Edwards was looking for creative ways to provide for her young family, and with just $200 and a used Vitamix, she started selling her dips with the sassy name Bitchin' Sauce at the San Diego Farmers Market. Today, Bitchin' Sauce is a $50 million business, and their vegan almond dip with flavors like dill pickle and caramelized onion is sold just about everywhere from Costco to Whole Foods. Star, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
It's really great to have you. I have so much to ask, so I'm going to jump right in. But first, I've got to ask, is Star your real name?
Star is my real name. There's two R's, so it's a proper name. But yes, it's my real name. I'm named after my great-grandmother, whose name was Estelle, French for star.
Okay, so big things were probably in your future from the very get-go. So your packaging, I'm jumping right to that, but your packaging, is that your family on your packaging, or who are some of those characters?
Yes. So on the Bitchin' Sauces is my son, Skipper, and then two of my daughters are on the sweet packaging.
And you've got some other kids. Do they feel bad that they're not on the packaging yet? Is it a yet?
I think it's a yet. They're still too little. They haven't quite realized that they're missing out.
So then, okay, so you're good for a while.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me go back to the beginning of your story as an entrepreneur. So I know you started out, you were looking to supplement your income. You were trying to get gigs as a chef and you wanted to help support your young family and your husband's music career. So you started with, I guess, I don't know, concocting Bitchin' Sauce. Is that sort of how it began?
In a nutshell, I had made the recipe when I was much younger and had been experimenting with a raw vegan diet, but it was something that I had just, you know, kept in the wheelhouse of weekly meals that we ate just as a family. And then when I started going to farmers markets, I really was just going to sample to people in order to get their business and get more clients. And then it just became so apparent that people would just buy something from you, which shocked me. But it was a very quick transition from being a service-based business to being a product-based business.
So how did you start even thinking about scaling up? Like, you were probably making these in small portions, not a lot at a time. How did you start to scale? How did you think about that?
Definitely small portions, you know, one Vitamix at a time. And really, scaling was so organic and so slow because I didn't understand, I guess, the full potential of the opportunity. And so I could only see like what was like directly in front of me. So it was like, okay, now we'll do two Vitamixes. Now we'll do four Vitamixes. And then a couple years later, we like splurged and got actual like manufacturing equipment that could make us go so fast. And it was just really organic growth with that. And then now it's like, man, we had to get some help to make the leap from just doing it like one tiny batch at a time to doing it on a much larger scale.
Yeah, I mean, you're kind of in a whole different stratosphere now. When you are dealing with a Costco or a Target or a Whole Foods, how far into your journey did you get to a Whole Foods? And I mean, that's not an easy place to get into. What is the story of getting into Whole Foods?
Well, when we were starting, they had a local forager program, which they had someone basically in every region that would kind of go around and try to find the cool local items. And they found us at the farmers markets. And it was like a dream to be able to go into Whole Foods. I was like, oh my gosh, we made it. But they were so wonderful, really, as like mentors to help us get to the next level, help us, you know, do the things to our packaging that needed to happen, right? Like nutritional facts. And like, you know, being compliant. And they helped us with like our first food safety audit and just kind of the process of getting into stores on a larger scale. So originally they only gave us four stores in San Diego. They're like, just like, see what you can do with this. And then, you know, we begged and begged. We're like, let us go to Orange County. Let us go to LA. And it started with us self-delivering and doing demos at all of these Whole Foods. And then eventually like the Rocky Mountain region reached out to us and was like, oh, we've tried this. This is great. Can you get it over the Rockies? And that was really hard to do, actually. We had a lot of exploded sauces.
Oh, really? Okay. Is that because they don't travel well in the air? Is that, I mean, were you traveling by air? That seems like a sort of expensive endeavor.
No, it's refrigerated shipping, which is also very, very expensive. But at the time, it was a cold processed product. And we didn't have anything that was pasteurizing it. So we had a really hard shelf life, right? It was like 30 days. That was it. And then the sauce was not good anymore. And so taking into the transportation time, and then also Denver is a mile high.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, all the sauces are kind of like bloating up, like using the potato chips, if ever you're in Denver area.
Right. When you do that little peel, it sort of explodes out.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy, but it was, you know, we had kind of like a first launch there and had to work through a bunch of problems. And eventually we started doing HPP, which is just a really great cold pasteurization process for our sauces. And it allowed us to open up the rest of the country, which was amazing.
So I don't know what HPP is. Sounds like pasteurize is one of the P's, but I don't know what the other letters are.
High pressure pasteurization. It's super cool. It's like dropping the product to the bottom of the Mariana Trench. There's so much pressure that it just kills anything bad in there. And it does it without ruining the taste or like the nutritional value.
Let me go back to your second Vitamix and then scaling up. At that time, are you thinking about, oh, I wonder how big this could be? And I wonder what kind of infrastructure do I need looking ahead? Were you thinking about that, or are you just trying to fulfill orders as quickly as you could?
Yeah, I think I was maybe thinking about it in like my subconscious, but definitely as an afterthought to just getting whatever needed to get done.
So who's helping you?
Man, everyone I could wrangle into it. Family, friends, my poor husband. At one point, he just was like, I don't see you anymore. I am now the head chef so that we can hang out.
Okay. And so part of this was you were also trying to help with your husband's music career, right? So how do you do those? Those are two difficult things to merge.
They really are. It's a confusing thesis for people too, because I think in general, most of the time, we'll see celebrities who use their goodwill to then go and form a product, right? They'll do like an alcohol brand or some for makeup or whatever. And here we are trying to basically do that the opposite way, which is weird. It's super weird. But my husband is an amazing musician, super talented. And I guess we just kind of never gave up on that. Like he took a break definitely from touring for a while and had to, I don't know, not reinvent himself, but, you know, like just find like a comfortable footing to move forward with music. And it's been great because we've had a lot more opportunities recently to go out and pursue that dream a lot more. We actually, like, we just got back from like a European tour, which was amazing. And yeah, he just, you know, I am constantly inspired by how hard he works and how hard he works at so many different endeavors. But it, like, he'll be like on the phone with Costco taking care of one of our biggest customers like during the morning, and then go to sound check and then perform, and then, you know, jump back on with a meeting with the team afterwards. And it's just, it's really inspiring.
And then you've got five kids. Okay, so you're in that phase where you're just growing and it's just all hands on deck. And do you realize, okay, at some point I need to become sort of, I don't know, institutionalized, not as a person, as a business, because this is just getting so big and, oh my God, this could really even grow tenfold or hundredfold or who knows. Who is sort of teaching you the business part of it?
I wish I was better at learning from other people, honestly. I had some mentors kind of early on, just like with basic business instruction. But then I really think that what I learned the best from were peers in the industry, and whether they were customers like Costco or Whole Foods or just other consumer brands, where I learned just so well from just having little chats with them and being like, what are you struggling through? What's your pain point? How did you get through this? And then learning a lot from, you know, mistakes that I saw people make, and then learning a lot from just the great paths that they chose also.
So what were some mistakes that people told you, like, we really blew it here, don't make the same mistake?
This is pretty funny, because this person told us not to do this and then went and did it anyways. They were said, you know, don't invest too much in manufacturing if what you want to do is just become a brand. If you want to be like a brand, then invest in sales, invest in making that equity grow. And it was actually pretty funny, because we listened to them. We're like, you know what? That's a great idea. That sounds like the best idea. And then they did the opposite, even after that great advice. And I think that they probably are kind of kicking themselves now, because it is definitely a different trajectory.
Okay, so learning off someone else's mistake is the best case scenario. So the route you've taken then is you're not going to be manufacturing heavier. That's not going to be your focus.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, making Bitchin sauce is really hard. So we figured out how to scale it. We figured out how to do it as consistently as possible. And it's like, it's really difficult for us to do. But yeah, we decided let's take our resources, let's invest in sales and marketing. And we grew that team so that we could basically have a broader reach and get the sauce to people.
So as this is starting to grow, would you say you are more amazed or you're more excited about where it can continue to grow?
Amazed, if I have to choose between those two. Yeah, I'm constantly like in a pinch me state, right? Where it's shocking to me to see how many people really like this product and how much joy it brings to people, and that it's something that they continue to buy. It's not just a one-time thing where they're like, oh, I got that and tried it. They get it and then they keep getting it weekly.
Or more. I know one of my college age kids is, I mean, it's sort of a, I don't know, it's maybe it's its own food group in their circle. So I don't know how much they go through, but as you're expanding this, do you think about, I would assume you have been approached by people, companies looking to acquire you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Before we go into that, we're going to take a quick break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we're back with Star Edwards. Okay, so we know there's companies interested in acquiring you. And what's your sort of gut response to that? And what's your brain response to that, if they're different?
My gut response is like, whoa, that's crazy. But also, I think I don't have a background in fundraising or getting really any sort of capital. You know, we started with $200. That was a gift. And as I've been having conversations with people who are looking at us with an acquisition in mind or an investment, I just can't help but feel like it's like the dating game. And I just feel like
you've had some bad dates or.
Oh, yeah. You know,
or there's a lot of cute ones out there. I'm not sure what you mean.
There's a lot of cute ones out there. Yeah. No, but it does definitely feel like, you know, kind of courting each other and getting to know each other, and everyone wants to be helpful and still be kept in the loop. And I don't know. It's been really funny kind of learning how to do that without having any experience.
But do you feel like you're going to go with sort of what your heart tells you to do? Have you met the right guy, if we go with the dating metaphor?
Well, you know, I have really high standards. So I think, especially when the business is at this point just so much a part of my life and my story, it's almost like another child. And there's so many people that we work together to build this with that it's so personal to me at this point in time. I feel like one of my bigger like flaws is that I'm kind of always on the fence about like, oh, do we just sell this and focus on something new, do something new? Or do we turn this into like the next Kraft Heinz? Is that possible? And like, that's kind of always like sitting out there as this like big overarching goal of like, could we be the ones who are buying people? Like in 100 years, if we just take time off the table, which is ultimately going to be the best thing for the business and for the legacy and what it means to our family.
So I got to switch gears for just a minute, that you're growing this business, but then you also have 5 children. So that's really hard. How do you deal with, you got 5 children of 5 different ages, and you and I talked a little bit before we were on. I did it in 2 groups of children, which I think is a little bit easier, but you have a big span of ages, 15 to 1. What's your house like? Who runs the house?
They do. The kids run the house.
Actually, yes.
No, you know, we have just like the most amazing children. They're so sweet and so grounded in a way that I feel like I definitely cannot take credit for. My children are incredibly responsible and very outgoing, very personable. And both my husband and I are like, this didn't come from us, right? Like we were always like kind of shy and introverted, and they're not that way. But yeah, we have a lot of help too. We have aunties and uncles that help us with everything, and it's really fun. I like having a big brood.
Oh, I totally get that. This takes me to another point. Now, I have heard that you provide childcare for your employees. That is a game changer. That is so fantastic. I can't imagine the response that you've gotten. It must be just, people must be over the moon to be able to work with you. How is it that you came to give that as a benefit?
So when we were starting out, we didn't have a lot of childcare help. We had some grandparents that were close by, and we had, again, family that could help out. But everyone just had to work. Everyone had to work, you know, really, really hard. And most of the time it was me bringing my son to the kitchen or to the office, and him just being a trooper, just, you know, playing with Legos like in the office. But that was really important to me, actually, because I just like my soul would crumble at the thought of sending him to a daycare somewhere else and having to go and do this work but not be around him. And so I think for all the failures that we've made as parents, like at least we've been around our children, like we've been physically present. And I think, you know, they've been able to see us work, which has been so cool. And as we grew bigger and had a larger team, I realized that it wasn't just me that had this issue. And it started with our chief of staff. I just was like, you know, I really want to offer this. I want to offer like a childcare program. And then we ended up bringing in a director of childcare who really just helped build out the program. And she just did the most incredible job, just made it like a Montessori, where it was just like kids of all ages. They all have their own different programs that they're working. And like, she was like potty training little babies. And it was just amazing, you know, because then the people that worked for us, like they got to see like their kids' first steps. They got to go and be able to like, just check in, just say hi, or just go and hold someone else's baby.
If they needed a fix. Yeah. So, okay, I would think that whatever the costs were in putting a program like that in place, that the benefits to you and to your employees are manyfold of whatever that cost was.
Definitely. I think, you know, it's just a different way of thinking about work and home life and raising children. We honestly just wanted to help inspire people to be able to have families. We were such a young couple when we had our son, and it was terrifying. And I just really, you know, wanted to be able to provide that encouragement for people that I felt like was lacking when we really could have used it.
Yeah. I don't know if you were in a position to answer this or not. Why don't we see more of this? Because it's so extraordinary. And yet it seems like, oh, well, this makes perfect sense. And other countries kind of have it together. Why do you think we haven't seen more of that?
Yeah, I feel like careers are so compartmentalized. There's a lot of structure, I guess, in our society that kind of separate these things out, where it's, you know, you have your home life, you have your work life, you have all these different things going on, and they don't usually interweave. But I do really love having a holistic approach to life and to our relationships. And I feel like it's catching on a little bit. I think people are thinking about it a little differently, especially as, you know, the world goes more remote. And at least for now all my friends are having kids. So now they're all thinking about
it. So you started really, if you have 15-year-olds and now your friends are having kids, you started really early.
Yeah, really early. At least by California standards.
So is your 15-year-old very sort of somewhat of a parent? Do they feel very, okay, I want to help out with the kids and kind of nurture them? And
definitely. Yeah, he's definitely that way. He's just like, man, such a fun and smart kid. And he talked us into going into high school. He talked us into what he calls skip across the school year, where he just basically pitched a remote learning thing so that he could go and visit a bunch of different mentors and like learn all these different things, you know, woodworking and metal crafting and all this stuff. And he's just a really funny kid.
Wow. Do any of them want to work with you?
Yes, I think so. I tried to talk to my son, the oldest one, about, you know, estate planning. And he like fell asleep when I started talking about taxes. And I was like, here's something that you should have to think about with business. But then, you know, my oldest daughter, I think she just assumes that she's taking over.
Okay. You like the confidence, right?
Yeah. And then my middle daughter is so feisty. I'm like, you would be a force to be, you know, to reckon with for sure. Mm-hmm.
So do you sort of feel like, okay, I'm really good at this and I can take this a lot further? Is that sort of where you are right now?
Maybe right now. It hasn't always been that way. It's taken a long time to grow the confidence to think that I know what I'm doing. And maybe I'm slowly but surely getting there.
What was your darkest day? Was there ever one where you're like, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Last Friday. I'm kidding.
Well, you bounce back well. It's Tuesday. You're looking good.
No, there was some dark days definitely where, you know, just, I mean, back when we were doing a lot of the making of sauce ourselves and stuff, I remember a machine going down when we had to fill an order for Whole Foods, and it was a new region and it was Thanksgiving, and it just was like the worst. You know, spending Thanksgiving just like tinkering away at a machine, trying to get it to limp along.
Did you fix it?
Oh, yeah, I fixed it.
Okay, I love that. Oh, yeah, I fixed it. Okay. What kind of leader are you? What kind of manager do you think you are? What would your style? How would you describe your style?
Man, that's a good question. Like, are there different styles?
I think so. There's micromanaging, and then there's distant, and then there's the right mix somewhere.
I would definitely be accused of of micromanaging. Yeah, like I like to see everything that's going on. But I mean, like the tail end of, or not the tail, the flip side of that is, you know, the our best managers, our best leaders are the ones who are so transparent and just like they want to keep you looped in along the way. And it's what it does is it allows for like really easy course correction, you know, so that you can be like, hey, wait, that's not a good idea. Don't do that. Without it being a whole thing, without it being like someone like, is like, I completed the project. And then you're like, oh, shoot, that's not what we wanted. So yes. We view that kind of the micromanaging, the being looped in and all that transparency as more of just like efficiency, right? Just like, how do we not have to go back and do a lot of rework?
So I ask everyone who's been able to build a big business. So much of that success is often due to who do you hire, right? Because you can't do it alone. And what's your strategy for hiring people? I mean, you talk about how important and how great they are. How do you know? What are you looking for when you're hiring someone for a big job?
Scrappiness. Actually, a lot of the people that we've hired have been family friends or just like really kismet experiences that brought them into our life. Like our VP of ops, we met him at our cousin's wedding. Our cousin also works for us. I like poached one of my really good friends from childhood to come and be our chief of staff. So there's a lot of that. I think my favorite thing about growing a team though is seeing what people are good at, which doesn't always coincide with what they want to do or what they think that they're good at.
What they imagine they should be doing or could be doing.
But I do feel like the best fit and usually the best for them too is when you find what they're good at and then you harness it and like really let them just like go and use their talents. I feel like that's where they get the most fulfillment and then the company gets the most, you know, value.
Okay. So our last question, you just made the Good Housekeeping's best snack list. So what does that feel like for something that you started when you were 16 years old? And now look, it literally has the Good Housekeeping seal of approval.
It's surreal. It's amazing. I can't believe that they've even tried it.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with the lightning round.
Want to learn how you can make smarter decisions with your money? Well, I've got the podcast for you. I'm Sean Piles and I host NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. On our show, we help listeners like you make the most of your finances. I sit down with NerdWallet's team of nerds, personal finance experts in credit cards, banking, investing, and more. We answer your real-world money questions and break down the latest personal finance news. The nerds will give you the clarity you need by cutting through the clutter and misinformation in today's world of personal finance. We don't promote get-rich-quick schemes or hype unrealistic side hustles. Instead, we offer practical knowledge that you can apply in your everyday life. You'll learn about strategies to help you build your wealth, invest wisely, shop for financial products, and plan for major life events. And you'll walk away with the confidence you need to ensure that your money is always working as hard as you are. So turn to the nerds to answer your real-world money questions and get insights that can help you make the smartest financial decisions for your life. Listen to NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
From the latest in artificial intelligence to new apps and business upgrades, the tech industry is always changing and growing. So keep up with the Daily Crunch podcast from TechCrunch. With new episodes released nearly every day, the Daily Crunch gives you a brief overview of the biggest tech headlines, and it's all delivered in around 5 minutes or less, so you can easily hear about the latest updates while trying some of those updates for yourself. Listen to the Daily Crunch now, wherever you get your podcasts. That's the Daily Crunch, wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, Star, this has been a great conversation, but one of the last thing I wanted to get to is the lightning round. So this is just a would you rather, just answer the first thing that comes into your head. You ready?
Okay.
Okay. Buffalo or Bombay bitchin' sauce?
Bombay.
Surfing or hiking?
Surfing.
Backstage at a concert or VIP at a game?
Backstage at a concert.
The Bear or the Great British Bake Off?
Great British Bake Off.
Would you rather be pregnant or not be pregnant?
I don't want to be pregnant.
Okay. Are you the first to rise or the last to bed?
Neither.
Okay. I thought you were going to say both. I love that you say neither and you have 5 children. That's so great. Okay. Would you rather be on the road or cozied up at home?
Cozied up at home.
Okay. This isn't a would rather, it's a question. What have you changed your mind about in the last year?
People.
Okay, elaborate.
I have changed my mind on how I interact with people. I think I've decided to be a little bit less shy and to speak without being so freaked out about what might come out of my mouth.
Okay, that's a great answer. All right, last two. What's the best investment you ever made? And what's the worst investment you've ever made? And investment's a very broad term.
Best investment I've ever made, a Aduna. Have you heard of those?
No.
It's a car seat and a stroller in one.
Okay, how about what's the worst investment you ever made?
Man, that's a good question. Worst investment I ever made was probably tooling for packaging that doesn't exist anymore. Oh, wait, no, I know what it is.
Okay.
An ERP.
An ERP. So this was an enterprise resource. I forgot what the P is for. That what it was supposed to help software to help you run your business.
Yep. And it just
and
gave
it was
us,
terrible.
Yeah. Just 2 years of not having any inventory and then having to figure it out in Excel.
Okay. That is a very, very good answer. All right. Thank you so much. This has been such a good conversation. Just where can our listeners find you?
They can find us in Whole Foods, Target, Costco, Albertsons, or just, you know, you can look on bitchinsauce.com and we have a nice little handy dandy store finder. So come check us out.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Star.
And thank
great
you.
To meet you.
Great to meet you.
Thank you so much for joining me today on How She Does It. And thank you so much to Star Edwards for sharing how she scaled a business from her kitchen all the way to Whole Foods. When you have a moment, please follow us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to updates from the Her Money community at hermoney.com/subscribe. Our producers are Catherine Tuggle and Haley Pascalides, with help from everyone at Her Money. This podcast is mixed and mastered out of CDM Sound Studios. Our music is from Video Helper, and our show comes to you through Megaphone. Have a great week, and I look forward to seeing you here with us again. Onward.